appreciate the opportunity to do this. I love the idea that I was able to, the way the session for me worked out, you know, I was able to preach from Colossians and then do something that's just a little bit more practical and same time really heading towards Colossians. So I'm going to look forward to this. Now, it looks like your handout is a little bit broken, but you all are big people, so you can figure out which way it folds. And page one is page one. And then you're going to have to kind of do something to find page two, and then do something again for three and four, but we're okay on that. That's probably not Bob Jones's fault. I don't think it's Bob Jones's fault. It's probably my fault. And I did my undergraduate at Northland, and so we were spiritual, but we never got our stuff folded right. And so it's probably my fault, but I grew up in Idaho. Anyone here from Idaho? Any Idaho people? Oh, you're a Mott, aren't you? Yes, I can see it. Okay, I went to, her mother taught me math, all right? Anyone else from Idaho? There's only like four of us there, so I didn't know. Half the state is right here in the room, all right? So then grew up there and had no, my sister actually came to Bob Jones. I'd never really heard of Bob Jones. She came here. I wasn't really hearing that she was at college, you know, I was just so glad she was gone. So it was like, we came and visited her one time, and it was big, you know, it was, so I didn't come, and ended up going to Northland. God used that in my life, and there was, really through some discipleship relationships, the dean of students just said, hey, I'll meet with you on Tuesdays, we'll read the Bible together, and pray together, and God really used that in my life. There was some seniors that actually poured themselves into me as well. And then my, this is pretty neat. It was really this naive. I then, my junior year, got three freshmen. I said, hey, you want to get together, and maybe we can spend like a half an hour, and we can read God's word, and we'll pray together. And I had no clue what was happening to me was what we call discipleship, and then what I was doing was discipleship. It was just very organic. It was just what God did. And then I went to Africa for a couple months after graduating and really determined that God, I was burdened, but not really called there. And then a guy by the name of Steve Pettit, I don't know if you heard of him, he then said, hey, you want to come travel? And I said, sure, but I don't play anything. And I was like one of the few, I think they had like 50 folks travel with them. I think I'm one of two that do not play anything. When I'm talking about like instruments. And so I would just travel, work with the youth, and God used that in my life as well. And then we started traveling itinerantly on our own. My wife and I, we have five kids, and thankful for them. Then we have a team that travels with us. But there was a time in there that I worked at Northland Camp. And I had like the best job ever. All I was supposed to do was speak and study and disciple and confront people. That was fun too. And and so that was my role. And so I was responsible for the discipleship of the staff. And so over the years, we just began to really come up with our own means of just trying to help people change. In fact, this is what you're going to see here. It's just the inception of that. This is kind of pulled with some other things as well. And it's really pick this from this person and take this from this person, take this from this person. But what I want to give you this afternoon is I want to give you just some handholds. I just want to give you some handholds to help you. Because I know what it's like to be in a season where you can't see up. I know what it's like to be in a pit. I know what it's like to be in a cave that someone dynamites the entrance and you feel like you can't get out. I know what that's like. And so what I want to do is I want you to really personalize this. I want you right now, I want you to think, and we're so packed in. I was going to have you write. If you feel comfortable, feel free to write. But if you don't feel comfortable writing because you're so packed in with everyone around you, I want you to do this. I want you to think of at least one thing in your life right now that you just wish God would help you with. God, I need help. How many of you can at least think of something you need God to help you with right now? Okay. Can some of you just share that? Maybe if you feel comfortable enough, can somebody just share one? Just share one. Okay. I want to hear about seven of these. Yes. Just keep it short. We'll just do something. Yeah.
Bitterness.
Oh yeah. Okay. Awesome. How many here know what it's like to be bitter or unforgiving or revengeful towards somebody? Okay. Thank you, brother. Thank you. We'll use this one. Okay. Somebody else. Tell me another thing. Yes. Just shout it out. Okay. Contentment. Anyone here discontent with something of life? Okay. So we're just a bunch of sinners today. Wow. Okay. Somebody else. Give me another one. Yes. Okay, fear of man. Okay, somebody else. Let me get another one. Okay. Just an inward selfishness. Give me a guy. A guy. Yeah, man.
Pride.
Okay, a pride. In the back, yeah.
I don't know what to do with my future.
Okay, so really a fear. It's kind of like a fear, kingdom control, all that wrapped into a decision. Yeah, give me another one. Okay, yes. Okay, how many of you have any parent issues? Okay, put your hands down. Some of you have your parents in the room, and you pointed to them. That's great. Okay. So, anyway, we all have things that we need the Lord to help. So, what I want to do, by God's grace, is give some handholds to really get after those things. What we're going to do is we're going to give some four steps. Now, by the way, steps are crazy, because steps hardly work in life, but they are great for teaching. And what we find is that these things are so interconnected. It's like, how can you really, the four things are recognize my real problem. How can I really recognize my real problem if I'm not working on a relationship, which we're going to see is the fourth one. And the first one is recognize my real problem. Repent of my sin. Remember my position in Christ. And then renew my relationship with God. And so though I'm listing these as a linear approach, it really is like a circle. It's like which one feeds which one at what time. It's all interrelated, but what I want to do is I want to give us something that's not just do better, because we can all give good counsel, but not the best counsel. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got a problem, right? So we're disobeying. So what we're going to do is we're going to give some good counsel, but not the best counsel. What's some counsel I could give to somebody that's disobeying? Tell me some good counsel, but not the best counsel. How about stop it? That isn't that a good thing to do? But that's good counsel, but is that the best counsel? Yes or no?
No?
Okay, how many of you have ever told yourself, stop it? Stop thinking that. Stop thinking about seven. Seven's a bad number. If you're thinking about seven, seven's bad. Wiki, wiki, bad, bad, seven, seven, seven. Don't think about seven. Seven. So stop it. Does stop it work? Does stop it really work? Yes or no?
No.
If I'm saying stop it, I am like at an emergency mode. Okay, we got to understand something. It's good counsel. It's just not the best counsel. It's like if I'm going to go punch somebody, I should hear stop it, okay? Right? If I'm going to go do something immoral, there should be a stop it. That's why the Proverbs are given to us. Don't be a foolish person. Don't walk down that path. You're going to get a dart through the liver, right? Don't do that. Darts in the liver hurt. So stop it is good. It's just emergency break stuff. It's not the ultimate. It's not that which gives you long-term rest in the Lord. It's like, don't go there or there's a danger. So stop it. What about consequentialism? If you do that, something bad will happen, right? Okay. Is that true? Do you ever see that in the scripture? If you do this, bad things will happen. Yes or no? Okay. We see it, but have you ever noticed that the moment of pleasure always outweighs the fear of future consequence? You ever thought about the whole idea? Like you can tell me, you better not do that because something's going to happen. Like, Will, your grandpa died of a heart attack, and your dad died of a heart attack, and you're at Chick-fil-A. And you really ought not to eat those waffle fries. Okay, do I heed that? Yes or no? You are judgmental, all of you. Okay? So what's going on there, the fear of future consequence is like, who cares? On the moment of pleasure, yeah, right? And so if you just preach a consequentialism, I can't tell you how many different moral services, this is usually where this plays out. So the guy's up here and he's preaching about sexual purity, right? And you better be pure, because if you're not pure, you're going to get an STD. And I mean, you better be pure, because if you don't, you're going to get somebody pregnant. And I'm telling you, you don't want to get people pregnant, because your life, you're not going to have a lot of money later, because you're going to be like... You see what they're doing? What are they appealing to? It's like the fear of something bad happening and the fear of something good not happening. How well does that really work? Because the moment of pleasure always outweighs the fear of future consequence. So we can say determinism, so it's like, stop it, just try harder, just do it. We can do consequentialism. Oh no. But it's good counsel, but it's not the ultimate best counsel. Are you tracking with me? I'm trying to say it in a way that you don't misread me. The Proverbs are in there for a purpose. Those warnings and commandments are in there for a purpose. God gives those to you, but I would like to contend that those are safety breaks. Those are last minute. That's if the only reason why I am doing something is because I'm afraid something bad's going to happen, then something in my brain ought to say, Will, you are in a very dangerous spot. Does that make sense? Will, if you're only saying no because something bad will happen if you say yes, that's a dangerous spot. So what we want to do is we want to start with really recognizing my real problem. We seek to change problems in our life that are really just a manifestation of a deeper problem. And that expression of outward fruit is often easy to identify. I mean, just hang out with somebody long enough and you're going to see some junk, aren't you? And pretty soon you see it in their life and you see your own issues. And so we're trying to cover up all the manifestations and don't do that. The negative things happen. But really finding the fruit of what's and the root of what's driving that fruit is not always a simple task. As we start, though, we do start with the outward. We start with what we see. And he's there in your handout. I believe I've got some scriptures that just have a bunch of vice lists. There's something like 40 to 60 different vices that are mentioned in the New Testament. And you can do a combination. One guy actually took that and then factorialed it out and said there's something like 14 million different combinations of sin that you could see in, really, the New Testament. But when you start to really think about the manifestations of sin, there's no end to it, is there? Are any of you better sinners today than you were yesterday? You know what I'm saying? It's like, how many of you, you've seen yourself get even more crafty? Remember? Like when you're the little kid, what are you doing? You're just like out and out, like, I will do wrong because I will not obey you. I will eat my Cheerios now. And then what happens is like you get a little bit older and now you get the little brother to actually get the Cheerios. So you manipulate so it looks like he's the bad one, but you're actually the sweet one that's just eating them. And then it gets even more. And then all of a sudden you're in college and now you can sin in such a way that it looks like you're spiritual. And we get more and more crafty with the manifestations of our sin. And we don't really address the real issues. So on your handout, I believe you've got just a list. And I'm just going to say these are some of the most obvious ones. Adultery, fornication, pornography, moral uncleanness, homosexuality, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, racism, jealousy, envy, gossip, slander, critical of others, self-centeredness, anger, wrath, strife, lack of forgiveness, murders, heresies, covetousness, materialism, lying, stealing, laziness, disobedience to parents, disrespect to authority, fear, pride, boasting, drunkenness, reveling. And they see that last little thing, etc. It's just, you know, the manifestations of a Christian of Christ-likeness is single. It just looks like Jesus. The manifestations of self are endless. It's like there's so many different combos, aren't there? And if we end up spending our life chasing the manifestations of our sin, we're going to be really tired. If we just spend our life trying to stop it, if we just spend our life trying to change that area, we're going to miss the whole point. He says this, that manifestation is actually driven by some desire. He says in James 1, but every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed, and when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin when it's finished, bringeth forth death. So we do what we do because we want what we want, right? We do what we do because we desire something. There's something that I really want. So from whence come wars and fightings among you? He says in James 4. He says, come they not hence, even of your lust that warn your members? You lust, have not. You kill, desire to have, cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lust. So I'm doing this because I want something. In fact, if I could help us all, I mean, what we're going to do is we're going to give us these four handholds to help us climb out of our own pit. But if there's a concept that you could really take away, real practical, that when you see something that does not look like Jesus, if you could learn to ask yourself a question, you would be helped. This is something that would go beyond just a little workshop time. If you could ask yourself, what do I really want? That's what we need to ask ourselves. What do I really want? Why did I say that? What do I really want? Why did I think that? What do I really want? Why did I go there? What do I really want? Because the world system plays into this in a great way. So the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. So the pride of life is the motivation of a desire to be. I want to be like. So somebody here mentioned the fear of man, right? So what is going on with the fear of man? Well, I want people to think, or I'm afraid that people will think. So there's actually a desire. It's not just a manifestation. It's a manifestation of a desire. So the lust of the eyes, I want to have. So the desire to have, or the lust of the flesh, I want to experience. And the reason why we're going to take the time to look at the motivation is because if we're not careful, we're just addressing the manifestation. But some of us actually have manifestations that are driven by different desires. So let's take stealing, all right? How many of you have ever stolen anything? Raise your hand. Wow. All right, just make sure I have my wallet, all right. Tell me a reason why somebody steals. What do they want? Somebody tell me, what do they want? Yes? They actually want the stuff. So they go in and they stole because they want the stuff. Okay. Somebody else, tell me another reason why somebody steals. Yeah, in the back, all in the back.
More.
What?
More.
They want more? Okay, so they actually just want more. It's like this lust, not just for this item, but a lust for just stuff. All right, what else?
The thrill.
You mean people actually steal for the thrill? They do. Some people just like, they'd like to feel like they snuck around. So what is that? That's not the lust of the eyes. What is that? Yeah, maybe pride of life, or maybe the lust of the flesh. I just want to feel like I did something exciting because I just went to school at home and I never got outside much. And so, next one. Somebody else. What's another reason? Yes. Ooh, that's a good one. They believe they deserve it. It's actually pride of life. In fact, I had a kid do this. We were counseling a kid, and he stole a paintball gun. I said, why did you steal that? He said this: they deserve to have it stolen. Sometimes we think we deserve to have it. Okay. So what happens? So here we are. We come to them. Stop stealing. Don't steal. And they're like, yeah, I shouldn't steal, but I want to steal. Yeah, but don't steal. Don't steal. So don't, even though you want. You see what I'm saying? Don't you understand there's going to be bad things that happen? I mean, if you steal, people won't like you. Think what just happened here. So here it is. I'm stealing because I want stuff so you guys will think I look cool. Stop stealing or people won't like you. Am I helping that person, or would I actually technically hurt that person? So what they do is they stop stealing, and now they start living in the fear of man, another expression. Do you see what we just did there? And what happens is, if you chase the manifestations but you don't get down to the desires, what happens then is you put band-aids over issues and you never really solve the real issue. So what happens then is this person stops stealing. Now they start working, and now they start giving away their stuff uncontrollably. How many of you have ever met somebody that gave away more than they should? Well, are they doing that because they love Jesus? No, they're giving it away because they're afraid that people won't like them. So they stop stealing, and now they're giving stuff away. And because we live in a conformity culture, a lot of us, what happens is we don't, man, they're just so generous. No, actually, they're fearful. You see what I'm saying? So if we're not careful, what happens is you beat down the manifestation, and it goes deep, and the idol stays there. And then there's all these other expressions that look sanitized, and we praise people for sinning. So you got to take the manifestation and ask the question, what do you really want? Okay, so one of our brothers just, he said something. I appreciate this, the transparency. He talked about hurt, bitterness, forgiveness. Okay, who's ever struggled with that? What do you really want? Somebody tell me, what do you want? Why are you not forgiving? Why are you so angry towards that person? What did you really want? Somebody tell me, yes. I was entitled. I want what? What am I entitled to? I want respect, which is what? Is it pride of life, lust of the flesh, or lust of the eyes? Pride of life. Okay, somebody else. Why else am I bitter? Yes, right there. Yes.
My way
is the best way. You should submit to me. I should not submit to you because I'm full of pride of life. Right? Somebody else. What do I really want? Yes, right there in the tie. White tie. Yeah.
You want revenge, maybe?
I want revenge. And you know, some people actually want revenge out of pleasure. They want, there's a glee. I mean, I can tell you, I was walking at a church. I was trying to keep fit, you know, walking, and it starts raining. I went all the way out, and now it's raining. It's in Florida, and it's raining big. And I'm walking back in the rain, and a car. Splashes me, big time. And I see him out the window. Do you know what's going through my brain? I'm serious. I was looking at palm trees going, wow, what would it look like with that car wrapped around the palm tree? And I just walked by going, Isn't that amazing how we think thoughts like that so fast? And it was actually, I was like finding pleasure in their destruction. And I didn't want them dead because I wanted to taunt them. What else? Yeah. What? Okay. I want to be in control. I just want to be in control. I want to change the past. You see, we've got all sorts of different reasons why we do that. What about the fear of man? What about the pride of life? I just want people to like me. What do I really want in acceptance? What do I really want? And what are the manifestations? I mean, some of us, because we so want acceptance, that's why we buy things. Some of us, because we so want acceptance, I'm going from reverse. I'm taking the desire of acceptance and I'm looking at manifestations. We steal things because we want that crowd to like us, but we want mom and dad to like us, so we're like a hypocrite. And then we're willing to give of ourselves in the area of morals because we want that guy to like us, and so we'll give ourselves to that. And you see what I'm saying? There's no end to this. There's all sorts of different manifestations, and you just push down the manifestation and not get to the root, you're going to see it in other areas. What was another one? We had forgiveness. We had fear of man. What else? What's another manifestation? What about lying? Why do we lie? Somebody tell me why we lie. Okay, a fear, right? I want you to think that I'm something I'm not. I want to be perceived as something that I really have no capacity, the pride of life. What else? Why do I lie? Yeah, I want to feel the thrill of everyone liking me, or maybe it's like I want to. Maybe it could be more of a lust of the flesh type thing. Why else do I lie? Yeah.
Good reputation.
Okay, good reputation. Do you see what we're doing here? We're asking the question: what do I really want? Okay, so I've got a question. I'm going to ask you three questions. So let me start over. I have three questions. First of all, how many of you know some sinful manifestation in your life? How many of you, when you ask the question, what do I really want, it just comes right away. You're like, oh, that's what I really want. How many of you can say, once you say, this is what I do, this is what I want, how many of you can see other things that you do that are connected to what you want? Okay. Does somebody mind sharing just one that's maybe you don't feel vulnerable about sharing it, something we can identify with? Somebody tell me, what is it that you do, and then what is it that you want? Somebody just tell us one. Right, we're trying to keep this. Okay, yes. Can you speak loud? I'll repeat it so everyone can hear. What do you do?
I volunteer to do a lot of various activities. Like that.
Okay, what do you want?
I want just fellowship, attention, and love.
Okay. Does anyone else identify with that? Okay. Somebody else tell me one. Give me a guy. We've had a couple girls. Give me a guy. Yeah, dude. What do you do?
I try to be funny.
Okay, because what do you want?
All right.
And you know what? Every single one of us want to laugh right now because we want you to know that we love you. You know what? That's something I learned in teaching school. But you know, isn't it? Now, who can identify with that, though? Who identifies with that? How many of you ever say something stupid because you just want somebody to laugh, right? Okay. Tell me another one. This is what I do. This is what I want. Somebody else tell me one. This is what I do. This is what I want. Yes. So you want to have the fountain of knowledge so that you're perceived and it's the pride of life. Now, does this filter into any other area of your life? See, what we're starting to see is we don't need just to cut out something. We need a radical change, don't we? We need God to do something so deep in us that it's really, it's beyond just the manifestation. We need God to get to the core of who we are. So what begins to happen is, as we see the manifestation, we recognize the real problem that I want something. What do I want? That's what we're going to go away from here in about 20 minutes when we walk out the door and somebody says, what was this about? You're going to say, you know what I'm starting to realize? I do what I do because I want what I want. You know what I'm realizing? That my behavior is driven by my desires. And that you tomorrow, you say something, you think something, you do something, and you actually take the time to ask the question, say it with me, what do I really, ooh, that was lame. One more time. What do I really
want?
And what it does is it begins to show our desires, begin to reveal the real problem. You know what the real problem is? It's really a wrong view of God and a love for self that's greater than my love for God. That's at the core. It's really a wrong view of God mentally, and it's actually with my affections, a lust for myself. Do you know that we have this endless capacity to love ourselves? I mean, I love me. Me is awesome. And it's connected to a wrong view of God. But, you know, if we're not careful, what we start to do is we just kind of reduce this down. That's why I just want you to understand something. Though I'm presenting this linear, it's far deeper than that. If you just go like, do this, then do this, then do this, then do this, you miss the whole point. But if you begin to realize I do this because I desire something, and I desire something because I don't really think right thoughts about God, and I actually love myself more than God. Do you know that God is all-knowing? He sees everything. And many of us, we just don't contemplate the fact that God knows us, and he's all-powerful. You've got this list there for you. This is given to you in full capacity so that you, this semester, you in your own private time, you could open up and you could just work your way through. What is it that I want? What does that reveal about my desires? And what do I not believe about God? That he's faithful, that he's good, he's holy, he's loving, he's merciful, he's sovereign, he's sufficient, he's wise, he's full of wrath. I mean, so brother, you were talking about forgiveness, right? So here's this struggle with forgiveness. We all identify with this. And we said, what do I really want? But the next question is, what do I not believe about God? At that moment, what do I not believe about God? At this moment, what do I not think about God is true? Now, what can happen? I've been on the other end of these before. And I'm just really struggling with, and you don't believe? You don't believe that God sees you. And I want you to memorize these four verses. And everything will be different. Have you ever heard counseling like that? Can I tell you? Walking with God is not just memorizing something. It's kind of like it's a simplistic, overextended version of just, like, Christian life is like walking with God, enjoying God. So you don't just do that by memorizing. I mean, like, I just don't love my wife. And my wife says, okay, what I want you to do is I want you to memorize my birthday, Valentine's Day, Christmas, and my favorite food. Okay, I got it, sweetie. No, I missed the whole point. It's just something. That's a beginning point. Because in fact, we can almost abuse the character of God thing. It's almost like this go-to counseling thing, or just kind of holiness of God. Okay, that's true, but it's not a playing card. It's not like you're right. No, it's deeper than that. That's why we're going to get to it. It's a relationship. Well, let me just give you an example. So this kid comes in. I'm talking to him. He's about a junior in college at a camp I was working at. And it kind of came up on the internet tracker or whatever. He's looking at pornography. And so I bring him in. I'm talking to him. And I'm talking to him. And within 5 minutes, I know this is not the first time he's talked to somebody. But he's talked to somebody multiple times. And so I'm just listening. I'm thinking, what am I going to tell him that he doesn't already know, right? Does he know about the holiness of God, yes or no? In fact, as I started talking to him, I just going to get to know him. And he was a missionary kid. I said, what was it like living in this country? He goes, well, it's kind of tough. My parents are good parents, but the country is kind of it was a difficult location, unsafe. So I spent most of the time at home, and I do my schoolwork. It was online. I said, oh, that's probably where you started looking at pornography. Yeah, you know, my parents are gone. And I said, so did you have a lot of friends there? He goes, oh, no, nobody liked me because I was American. I said, well, what's it been like now that you're in the United States? People don't really like me either because they say I'm actually, says the country that their parents are serving. So I said, so you feel like over here you're there and people think you're there, and then you're there and people call you there, here. He's like, yeah. I said, so really, I mean, do you have any, what kind of friends you got? He goes, I said, so when does God love you most? Like, I think, like all the time, right? I said, yeah, all the time. I said, do you know God loves you? He's like, wow. He's kind of like, you know what happened? You know what happened to this kid? Okay, so what does he really want? What do you think he really wants? So he's looking at pornography. That's bad. What does he really want? You know what I asked him while we're talking? I said, do you want to look at pornography? He goes, no. Do you even like it? No. What does he really want? What do you think he really wants? What do you think he wants? Yeah, and you know, pixels don't bite. So what happens? So he looks at pornography, and then he sins against God, because he's a Christian. So he sins against God. What do you think he feels? Rejection, right? Rightfully so. He just hurt this relationship, right? And so there's rejection. And so he talks to somebody. Somebody says, you know what? God's holy and God sees. Oh, I know. I shouldn't have done that. And so now he just feels bad. And so because of his immaturity, what does he do when he feels rejected? What does he do? He looks at pornography. And then he looks at pornography and feels what? And then because he's rejected, he wants to go do what? So what happens is there's a cycle. And so here's this desire that when you go, there's consequences that result in him going back to the same desire. Have you ever seen that type of circle in your own life? Okay, some of you are like, oh, should I raise my hand because that's pornography, so I don't want to be like, it's not me, you know, but. Okay, so let's do a safe one, okay? Let's back it up. So here's this girl, okay? So you know what she wants? She wants her boss's acceptance. I watched this happen, okay? So she wants boss's acceptance. She just really wants boss's acceptance. So boss begins to talk. I need you to go ahead and copy this and send this and go ahead and put a paperclip on it. What she hears is, I hope he likes me. I hope that he thinks that I'm doing a good job. I really hope that I'm going to do a good job because it's really important that I do a good job. He's saying, put paperclips. She's saying, I hope I'm accepted. So when he stops talking, she goes and puts staples. Because it'll be great. Staples are awesome. I mean, I'm just going to staple this whole thing. So boss gets it and he's like, there's like a lot of staples on here. Oh, no. And she hears lots of staples. And then she goes, oh, he doesn't like me. I didn't do enough staples. I need to put more staples. I will put more staples. Yes, sir, I'll put more staples. No, no more staples. This is a lot of staples. Okay, lots more staples. Okay, lots of staples. Boss leaves. Staples. What are you thinking, girl? Okay, how many of you have ever seen this cycle? What you want something, you don't get something, and then you do the something that causes you not to get the something. Just think long enough, it works, I promise. So I'm talking to this kid, and I go to Romans 8, and I just start unfolding the love of God, and I said, I want you to spend like 2 weeks reading this every day, and I want you to write out about 10 meditations every day. And I'm just talking to him, and he goes, you mean to tell me, are you trying to tell me that because God loves me, that I don't need to get acceptance in pornography? I mean, that sounds basic, but isn't that kind of what most of us in this room need? He goes, so you're telling me I don't need to look at, you know what was really fun to watch that next 3 months? Is by God's grace, I mean, that whole 3 months, he didn't look at any pornography. It was the longest season in a long time of him just trying to walk the Lord, just trying to enjoy the Lord, trying to find pleasure in God, because the moment of pleasure always outweighs the fear of future consequence. But what if you have pleasure in something greater? This is what we just got done preaching, guys. We are to kill sin, but we're to kill sin because we have something greater. You see, so when you recognize the real problem, you're not just content to find the manifestation. You got to ask the question. What's the question you got to ask? What do I really? And what does that reveal? Well, it reveals somewhere in there a broken view of God. There's some attribute of God that's missing. There's something of God, because isn't God sufficient? Yes or no? Yes. So if he's sufficient, then there's something that we're not finding our sufficiency in. And so it could be for some of you that you're struggling with God's holiness. You just don't think God is holy. That could be it, that you flaunt your sin. You think that God's just going to look over it and gloss over it. Some of you, you don't think that God sees you. And some of you, you don't think God loves you. I don't know what's going on in your brain, but you're adults now, right? Somewhere in this whole concept, we got to come to a place where we're like, you know what? I'm going to be responsible for what I do. And so I just want to love God because I'm going to face him. Guys, it's like you yourself, like you walk with God. You find your ultimate in God. You enjoy the Lord. Recognize the real problem. We need to ask ourselves, what do I really want? By the way, when I begin to see my sin for what it is, and I begin to see that I am choosing that more than the Lord, nobody has to convince me to do this. Okay, straight up. If I got to preach in such a way that's so manipulative, I guess it's time to turn the page, huh? Okay, stop turning your page. There's one page. Bob Jones people, come on. Now, if I could have preached in such a way that the only way you repent of your sin is because I told you stories about a kid on a motorcycle that dies, and do you know what I mean? If the only way I get you to obey is because I tell you like about STDs, that's broken. That's broken. Can I tell you the reason why we don't run to the cross is because we just don't see how big God is? Man, who here deserves mercy? Who here deserves the love of Christ? None of us do. But when we begin to actually say, so what did I want? I actually want me more than Jesus. And Jesus died on the cross for my sin. And Jesus died for me. Jesus died for me. You know what? There's a repentance of sin. I mean, you run to the cross. There's a confession. You just agree with God. You just say the same thing as God. I am parenting. It's hard. Woo! I got 5 kids, you know, and they're all different. One of my kids was just really, mom was speaking somewhere, and the kid was just like messing around the whole time. And I'm talking to the kid afterwards, and they're just giving me the cold look, you know. Do you remember like with your parents talking to you, and you're just looking right through them? You're just like, okay, that's what the kid was doing to me, all right? So I'm talking to him, and finally I said, so you did this. So you actually love that more than you love your mom at that moment. You were choosing to love this more than your mom, and you were choosing to love that more than Christ. And it wasn't manipulation. It was just saying the fact, but God really softened their heart. And all of a sudden, this child, it was like the ice just melted, and they just fell on my shoulder, and they started sobbing so deep. I mean, it was one of those, like, that I was now like seriously choked up. Because for that little moment, it connected between their sin and the cross. Do you see what I'm saying? How many of you have ever had a season where you're just cruising through life and then all of a sudden Christ becomes so real that it arrests you and it slows you down? And you know, that's what's needed. That we would actually take the time to let this settle down. I do this because I want this. I want this because I don't think this about God. And I actually love myself more than God. And then when somebody tells you about asking for forgiveness, it's not like you gotta go like, oh, I better, or God won't like me. No, it's like, no, you see God and you have to. It's like the love of Christ constrains us. And so there's a confession of sin, but then there's a forsaking of sin. And Ephesians does what we did this morning in Colossians. It talks about our position. But it also then in turn, not only does it talk about our position, it talks about our practice, that we put off those things and we put on the new things that we find in Christ. And we'd actually flee. We'd flee from that which would lead me back to the old life. It's like if you've got to just, like people get in trouble and then they're really repenting and then they're like leaving little escape routes back to it. That's not brokenness. I had this kid. He's like, hey, I need some accountability because I keep on using my phone to look at pornography. Can you keep me accountable? I said, no. Nuh-uh. He's like, what do you mean? Why can't you keep me accountable? I mean, why? I said, because you throw away your phone, dude. And whoever's ringing, you throw away his ears too. I said, just throw it away. I mean, dude, it cost me $200. Yeah, okay, so what? Your soul or $200? You choose. Go ahead. What do you think? You know what I mean? You see, but I'm not going to sit there and try to go like, oh, don't you understand? Don't you get it? You're going to lose your soul. No, I'm going to tell him that, but I can't manipulate him. He's going to do what he wants to do. And by the way, it just might be that he's not in Christ. Do you hear me? Sometimes we've lived such a long conformity life that some of us, we're just kind of doing it, and then all of a sudden when I have freedom and I go do something else, because that's really what I want to do. You see, in this whole process, in this fourth step, what we're doing is when we recognize the real problem, we're trying to cultivate honesty, that we just get honest about what my desires are, and then we're trying to cultivate humility, because that's a key component of Christian living. You read through any of the sanctification passages, and humility is a part of it. It's like, I can't do this. I am a sinner. I need grace. I'm such a wretched sinner in my original position, and then my flesh is so lusting after that which was used to be found in the old man. And that's why we need humility, just to see what it is, but then we want to cultivate faith by this next one, which is really remember my position in Christ. It's not just enough to do better, right? It's not just enough to try harder. It's not just enough to avoid the negative consequences. It has to be sourced in my position in Jesus Christ. And so what we want is we want God to help us to live a life of faith. So I'm not actually going to take a lot of time with this, because we did in chapel, we talked about it. We said our identification of Christ is the reason why we can and the motivation to live a life that is obedient and pleasing to God. What I have in Christ is enough. And so what this does now is this actually connects the dots. And I'm saying this is what you need to do in your own brain. So what do we normally do? What do we normally do? We're like, okay, I've sinned, stop sinning. No, I sinned. What did I really want? I wanted the praise of man. Because I don't think God is enough. Because I love myself more than Christ. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, because of what I have in Jesus Christ, when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, when you saved me, Father, when you put new life in me, I was now brought into a relationship with Christ. This union with Christ means I don't have to go there. I can now do what you have commanded me to do. We're not, guys, listen to me. We are not Catholics. We are not Mormons. Do you hear me? We are saved by grace through faith alone. And the work of God, the regenerative work of God, he put new life in us. We are in Christ, not because of my righteousness, but I have his righteousness, and it's enough. And the Spirit of God now dwells in us. We can say no to that which the flesh wants to say yes to. We can walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh, because as a Christian, I died with Christ. I want to plead with you that you would go to the Colossian passage and you'd memorize it. I mean, like the 1-4, just devour it. Would you go to the other positional passages? Would you just devour all of these? I'll get to them in a second. We died with Christ. We've been raised with Christ. That means the newness of life. So I died to the power of sin and the demands of the law. I rose with this new life in Christ, but I'm hid. We can't see with our eyes, and one day we will all appear. And so therefore, according to Colossians, and I'm buzzing through this, we can seek heavenly things. We can set our affection on things above. We can kill sin. We can put on the character of Christ. Those other positional passages, do you see those? 2 Peter 1, 1 through 11. 1 John 1, John 15. Romans 6 through 8. Galatians 5. Ephesians 4. Galatians 2, 20. You know what? Why don't you get desperate for those? Let me just throw this out here. What if... how many of you are taking at least 14 hours of class? Okay, 16? Okay, 17? Okay, so that's the break point. So 16-ish. What if for the remainder of the school year you added a 3-credit class with God? Non-negotiable. 1 o'clock class hour, you get a private place, and you open up your Bible. Just like you'd go to class, just like you go to chemistry or physics or OTI or whatever other class, like a 3-hour class with God, and you said, God, I just want to understand my position in Christ. You go in there, you plug in the earbuds, you listen to a sermon series from Romans 6. You go, you get a commentary, you read a commentary in Galatians 2:20. You go, you sit down, and you just work through a memorization, or you get a scripture typer app, and you got it there on your iPad, and you're just typing it through, and you're just getting passages. Can I tell you something? This is the key. This is the foundation. This is the bedrock. Christ is enough. If he's not, I want off the bus. I'm telling you, if Christ isn't enough, I'm done. Seriously, do you want to keep doing all this stuff if Christ is not enough? Let's go pick another religion that lets us play video games all day. Let's go pick a religion that makes everyone think I'm awesome. Enough of this scorn that comes with the exclusivity of Christ. I'm out of here. If this Christ thing isn't real, then I'm done. How about you? So why don't you figure it out? Why don't you go after it? Why don't you devour it? Why don't you say, I just want to know, is Christ, are you enough? I know you saved me from sin. I want to see you just save me from sin today. Not just the penalty of sin, but the power of sin. I want to see you just save me, Lord, in a deeper way. You know what I'm talking about? Let's go for it. Let's not exist. Let's really take what we have in Christ and really apply this. And then number four, renew my relationship with God. You see, that's really the four things that we're doing. This is the goal where we're going. Renew my relationship. By the way, when I have a relationship with the Lord, then these other things are it's working. It's not like I think that sometimes we subtly in our parachurch driven view of sanctification, what happens? So we got Christian camps and we got Christian colleges and we got non-local church drive to much of our background of those of us that are here. If we're not careful, we almost look at Christianity as like level up. It's like this spiritual video game. It's like, dude, I just leveled up. No. Like if I'm walking with God, it's not like I don't ever be tempted again. You know what I mean? It's not like there's desires that aren't revealed. Can I tell you something God's been doing in my life? I mean, he's been pounding me these last 2 years. And I'm not going to tell you all the circumstances why, but I was barely making it last year. And the Lord was killing me in the fear of man. I mean, just killing me. And it's like the Lord's really done a work in my life. And I'm like, you know what? I do trust the Lord in this. But you know, as God's been dealing with the fear of man in my life, you know what? I realized I'm angry. I get angry. But I used to not show my anger. You want to know why? Because I was afraid of man. Oh, no, I'm not angry, but I hate you. So as the Lord's dealing with the fear of man, what's happening is I'm seeing these other idols. I'm like, oh, yuck. There's no leveling up. Man, we have all we need in Christ, and yet the fullness of that won't be totally realized till we get there. So get used to it, all right? And really grow in Christ and love him and walk with him. And wow, I need grace again. Wow. Oh, wow. Just think about this. If somehow you could level up and you were like sinlessly perfected, then what's Jesus good for? You know what I'm saying? It's like once I got it, then like I don't need you tomorrow, so I'm going to take tomorrow on my own. No, every day we need Christ, don't we? Every day we need Christ, and every day he's showing us what we did, and we ask ourselves, well, what did I want? Well, this idol, and this idol reveals what I don't believe about God, and a love for self. Oh, Lord, I'm sorry, I see that. Oh, Lord, wow, I can't believe how much that's just a part of me. Oh, Lord, but Lord, I don't have to go there, because when you saved me, God, you didn't just save me from the consequences of sin. You saved me from the power of sin, and Jesus died, and he was raised from the dead, and I'm now in union with Christ, and one day I'm going to see Jesus, and it's worth it. And so, Lord, I just want to walk with you. I just want to talk with you. I just want to enjoy you. Because you, Lord, are the ultimate. And when I'm drinking of Christ, all this other stuff seems shallow. Lord, when I find my ultimate in you, I can enjoy these other things of the world, but they just don't have the same zip. And so take the time to renew your relationship. I mean, if really what's going on is a wrong view of God and a love for self, then really renew your relationship by filling your mind of truth about God from the Bible. I mean, like we talked about, like do a biography of God, do a biography of Christ from the Gospels. I mean, just get intense about finding out who God is. I mean, like do a Bible study. I mean, some of you seniors, you ought to really grab, maybe I could use a different word. You shouldn't grab freshmen, but you should get a couple freshmen and sit down and go through trusting God. The gospel life, praying backwards, one by one. Just sit down and read some of these books and just say, hey, let's read and we'll just talk and we'll just man, you would grow too, don't you think? Hey, can we do you want to do a study about the love of God? I mean, how many of you, one of the attributes of God that you probably need to get a grip on because it impacts a lot of areas, how many of you need to really do a study on the love of God? Would you raise your hand? Okay, what if you just did a corporate study? I mean, seriously, what if you got together with a couple folks and you said, hey, let's just do a weekly study on the love of God? I mean, wouldn't that be a blessing? How many of you would really be helped by the holiness of God? You'd be helped by the holiness of God. Would you raise your hand? Well, what if you just got together with somebody else and said, hey, can we do this study? Now don't use that. You sly guys that are going to try to date a girl. Like, I just think both you and I should study love of God. Nice try. But why not? Can I ask you a question? When are you ever going to get another time like this in your life? There's a lot of Christians in this room. And y'all are like, yeah, let's go serve God, right? Some are. Go for it. You don't have a lot of other, you got school, right? But you don't have, like, most of you in here aren't married yet. Most of you don't have children yet. Don't. So go for it. Go, like, I'm just going to use this season, get really good grades, and learn how to walk with God. Why not? He is better. So I want to renew my relationship by filling my mind with truth from the Bible about God. And there's so many ways to do this. But then really cultivating a heart that loves and enjoys Christ more than my sin. Let me just throw out some ways. Build a biography of God, listen to sermons. Really kill sin. Don't let the sin just stay there. Deal with sin. Meditate on the triumph and the sacrifice of Jesus. Develop a disciplined yet devotional pursuit of God. And these four steps that we're talking about, remember, it's not just linear. It's like sometimes you're walking through life, and you're like, no, I don't have to go there because of what Christ has done. You just remember your position. But when you remember your position, you know what you just did? You just renewed your relationship. You know what I mean? So all of a sudden you repented of sin. Oh, Lord, I am so sorry. And you just kind of, in your brain, you're pulling from all these different four. And it's not just linear. I mean, when you're really walking with the Lord, it's just all there. I mean, remember, let me just say it about this way. Let me say it this way. Some of us, we're still in the geek phase in just understanding this. And everything has a geek phase. Everything has a geek phase. That's where you don't quite got it yet. You're still kind of like, I don't get it. Remember when you first had to do your first layup? And there you are, and it's in a cold gym on a Saturday, because that's when, you know, the big kids aren't there. They don't turn the heat on until the big kids get there. So there you are, early in the morning, little kids, cold gym. You're bouncing the basketball. They're like, dribble. And you're like, and the teacher, oh, no, it's like this. And you're trying to learn this. And you dribble, and then you catch. No, that's double dribble. Oh, I don't know that rule. Okay, don't double dribble. And then you walk with it. You're traveling. Oh, I can't travel or double dribble. Now do a layup. And then they tell you, no, put your right hand up and lift the right foot up at the same time. And right hand, right leg. And one, two, three, you know, and you're going to go. And remember the first layup? You're like, one, two, left or right? No. Yeah. And then what happens? You keep playing, and now you're like you're in high school, and like you don't think that you're not going like, okay, left, right, left, oh, one, two, three, oh, yeah, you don't do that because you got it. And so we're looking at this like this, and you're like, okay, so remember my position. Okay, repent. What do I really want? I just want to remember the rest of the steps. No, it's more than that. It's deeper than that. It's just walking with the Lord. It's going to be okay. How many of you are in Christ? Then it's going to be okay. If we're not careful, we can subtly say that Christ isn't sufficient in the midst of a sufficiency conference. Christ is enough, guys. It's okay. But let's really go after knowing and walking and enjoying. Well, Lord, thank you so much for a chance just to share. Father, you're kind to us. You're kind to us to kind of stir up our pot, to just stir up the cauldron of all these things that we're thinking about. And Lord, I just ask that you would just help those that are hungry for you, that they'd go after you. The Lord, they'd set up a class with you. They'd download some sermons. They'd get a systematic theology. They'd get a friend. They'd all these little means of grace. Lord, that you would just use them to point them to yourself, because, Father, you are the giver of grace. And Christ is our life. And, Lord, that's what we want. We just want to walk with Jesus. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks so much. See ya.